You're listening to Faith FM Breakfast Show. Joseph Lawson and Shell in the studio. And we are going to be talking about Psalms, particularly Psalm 92 and how to find rest in God. But Lawson, before we do this, we have the fourth quiz of the day. And we want to know what it is.
Who was the first person to see Christ risen? Actually, we had this question as well recently, but look, it's Easter time.
Easter
we want to help you out.
Yes.
We love you guys. We want you to get this amazing prize. Again, who was the first person to see the risen Christ? 0491. We actually had this as a multiple choice before where the answer was stated, but now you just have to guess it. 0491-064-669 is the number to text. Who was the first person to see the risen Christ? If you know the answer, you will go into the draw to win Revive Cafe Cookbook number 8, which will be a massive blessing to you. We are going to be having the draw at 8:45 this morning. So this is actually your penultimate opportunity to get in for the prize, which was said actually by good old Danuta. She was saying that was one of my favorite words, is penultimate, and it's true. Penultimate, you know, the second last of something is a fantastic word. Hey, again, who was the first person to see the risen Christ? 0491-064-669. Joseph, we have a text message here from Chris. He writes, "Hey guys, is there any significance that Jesus was riding on a donkey? Could there be a link between the talking donkey and Balaam, that Balaam was rising, and the donkey that Jesus was riding on?"
Absolutely. Chris, thank you so much for your message. We love when our listeners are engaging with the Word of God. If you have any questions or any insights about the Word of God, please do send us through your messages. We love this, and we'd love to interact with our listeners on that field. So Chris is asking if the donkey has any significance. And I'd say, yes, it has. And not only in a lot of significance. So let's talk about a few of them. And then we're going to talk about the Balaam incident as well that Chris mentioned. The prophecy that Jesus would enter Jerusalem riding a donkey is actually foreseen and had been announced by the prophet Zechariah about 400 years before the actual event happened in Jerusalem. And in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble," this is a key word, "and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, this is very interesting because the idea or the image of triumphant entries was a common thing that was in the population's imaginations at the time, Lawson. And that would usually happen after returning from a battle. The victorious king would parade himself riding on a horse, usually a white horse, and carrying with him the spoils of war and prisoners of war, and parading with his military, and people would be shouting victory.
Yes, we saw David do this, you know, in his story a number of times, you know, returning back from war, and they're singing songs of David slaying his tens of thousands, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So now we're seeing Jesus, who is winning a much more important battle, a spiritual battle, against the powers and forces of the heavenly places, about demons, and about he has defeated Satan. He's on his way, and yet he is humble. He is not seeking glory for himself. And instead of riding a tall, high horse, he's riding a lowly donkey, which was the transport of the poor person.
Yes.
He could have access to whatever he wanted, including a horse, but he was riding a donkey who was not an instrument of war, but an animal of peace, an animal of labor, an animal of humility. So there is, number one, a symbolism here that Jesus was a humble king. But then the second thing as well, you usually do not ride on a foal of a donkey. And the reason why you do not ride a foal of a donkey is because they are wild. A donkey, before you need to tame it. Before you can, or to use the language that horse people use, you need to break it into shape. You need to shape it first. This is a foal who has never been ridden by anyone, so nobody would ever expect anyone to be able to sit on a donkey foal and still go get away with it.
Absolutely.
However, this donkey, by allowing Jesus to sit, not only represents that even nature recognized the authority of Jesus, but it also represents that Jesus had authority over forces of nature and even over wild animals themselves. One of the things that has happened, Lawson, is that in the fall of man, one of the relationships that was broken was the relationship between, not only between human beings, like, you know, Adam blaming Eve, not only between human beings and God, but also between human beings and nature and in wild animals.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the beginning, wild animals, they were friends. They were part of creation. You could probably call a bird and they would just come. They would not be afraid. But after the flood, the animals started to feel fear, and there was that separation as well. And Jesus is uniting even that in his work, in his body.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's that.
And from, I love the perspective that you shared, from the lowly, from the most wild, from the most poor. Like, it truly shows us that God is a God of everyone. He yes. comes in the status of even the lowest. You know, you could imagine David, you know, David was a faithful king, but riding in on a white horse, you know, receiving the praises as he's parading the spoils of war. It's, you don't feel like, if you're just a regular citizen, you don't look at that guy and feel like, yeah, wow, he's my best friend. Like, he knows me and he's willing to know me and be close to me more than anyone else who ever has. But the imagery of Jesus riding yes. On a donkey, Jesus is accessible. For those yeah. living in the first century and throughout all time and even today, Jesus representing the majesty of heaven is our accessible, loving God who is calling us to draw close to him. And furthermore, I love the imagery then provided in Revelation, because now that we know that Jesus is our Savior, furthermore, we'll see quite clearly that Jesus, the one who is called faithful and true in Revelation 19, it says that he returns riding on a white horse. He yes. returns as a king. He returns
as a conqueror. King. And Lawson, this is great. Look, another thing as well that Chris mentioned in his message is that any connection between that story and the story of Balaam. Now, for our listeners that are not particularly familiar with the story of Balaam, this is a story that you find in the biblical book of Numbers. And Balaam was a prophet. He was a true prophet of God. And what happened is that he was also happened to be greedy. And being greedy, Balak, one of the Canaanite kings of the time, he approached him and said, hey, I'm going to pay you lots of money if you can just go and curse the people of Israel for me. Mm. And Balaam said, okay, I'll see what I can do about it. But as a true prophet, actually God did not permit him. So every time that he was going to... every time that he was going to say a curse, only blessings came out of his mouth. Now, the king Balak was, you know, in outrage against him, said, no, I paid you so that you can curse, not bless. Look, I cannot say what the Lord God has not said to me. And this is a very fascinating story because it tells that God's limits, he doesn't limit the free will of anyone except you are a true prophet. In the office of a prophet, you cannot say anything that is not approved by God. Yeah. And this is one of the reasons we can be so confident that the words of the Bible are trustworthy.
Wow.
Because God would never permit a prophet to say something that is contrary to his will in the capacity of a prophet. So this is something very interesting to consider. Now, Balaam was riding a donkey, and at that some point in time, the donkey stopped in the way because there was an angel who was preventing the way and for him to continue going. And Balaam was abusing the donkey. And at some point, God opened his spiritual eyes and he could see the angel. And the donkey was saying, hey, you know, why are you hitting me? Don't you see that there's an angel? So right in front of me. So the donkey actually spoke with a human language, with a human voice. And that is a very interesting, not only a very interesting thing, but then the question is, with Balaam, the donkey refused to go because he was set himself to curse. Now with Jesus, a donkey that would normally refuse to go because he was a foal, he was cooperating because Jesus came to bring peace.
Wow.
And blessings. Mm. So yes, I can see a connection there. It's
Absolutely.
A contrast, but there's definitely a connection.
Absolutely. Yeah, powerful stuff here. And of course, heading into Easter. Mate, we just got a text message though from Wayne. He says, you know, you just got tricked into answering the second question. And hey, that's fine. That's fine. You guys should have answered it already.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
We love it when you guys send us questions about the Bible. We love answering them and talking about them. Of course, we usually have a Bible study plan to do, but if we get sidetracked by your amazing questions, we'll let it happen. But Psalm 92, a song for the Sabbath day. We've been talking about waiting on the Lord. The last week of studying through the Psalms for this quarter, for this lesson, you know, that we've been doing in the Psalms, this particular overarching topic for this week has been waiting on the Lord. And this is our last Bible study in the Psalms. And I think what a fitting psalm to end off with. Waiting on God. And particularly waiting on Him within the Sabbath day, within the time that He has given us for rest. We were talking a little bit throughout the week about active waiting. What it looks like to wait for God. Does it just look like, you know, sitting on our hands or twiddling our thumbs? And what we saw so clearly is that, no, there is a mission that God has for us. There is a message that God has for us. There is active participation that we are involved in while we're waiting. And the thing that particularly we're waiting for, like, you know, captives in Babylon, they were waiting for deliverance. You know, those who had been reinstated had come back to the promised land. They were waiting for a Messiah. And today, we're waiting for now the second coming. What are we supposed to do? We've talked throughout the week, active waiting, being a part of God's mission, being a part of His great commission. But then we come to Psalm 92. And I love this because the question is, okay, in that waiting, is there any time of reproof? Is there any time of rest? Is there any time where we can take a moment to sit and reflect in this time of waiting? And God has given that to us.
So let's read the psalm for our listener and then let's dig deep into it. So what I'd like to do is let's read the whole psalm in one go and then we come back and break it into pieces. How about that? Divide and conquer.
Psalm 92 and verse 1, the Bible says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears have my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him."
That's right. Thank you very much, Lawson. So let's break that psalm down and try to figure out exactly what's going on here. So notice in Psalm 92 verses 4 and 5, it says, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hand. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep." So when we look at that, the psalmist are saying, you know, I'm going to rejoice on the works of your hand. Now, the works of God's hands is often a reference in the Bible to God's creation.
Yes.
Okay. So he's looking at the creation and saying, God, your creation is amazing and I am rejoicing with it. Now, And there's a description about of the righteous, what we see in Psalm 92 in verses 12 to 14. It says, the righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age, and they shall be full of sap and very green. So there is a comparison here for the righteous person, man and woman, young and old, the person who trusts in the Lord, and it's comparing it like trees planted in a garden, trees that are yielding fruit in their season. And in this regard, some commentators believe that this psalm is making a reference towards the Sabbath, because the Sabbath also commemorates exactly that. How great are the works of your hands that makes us glad. Let us stop to acknowledge and to rejoice and to enjoy that. So that's sort of a garden of Eden language, that creation language is seen here. But there's another element as well, why some commentators believe that this psalm is pointing towards the Sabbath so much. It's a little bit of a hidden to, you know, the naked eye, I guess. But if you look with it intently, you will see that there's another theme that the Sabbath also represents, which is redemption or victory over the enemies. So when we look at verses 7 to 15, it says that then when the wicked sprouted up like grass and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore.
Yeah.
So this wicked, the works of darkness, the works of iniquity, it is absolutely something that is going to be disappearing.
Yes.
It's not going to be there forever. The Lord is going to be destroying them. Oh Lord, you are on high forever. And at the climax of that psalm, it says, for behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies, emphasis here for the repetition, will perish, and all who do iniquity will be scattered. And why is that a reference to the Sabbath? Because in the Sabbath, we're celebrating two things in the one weekly festival. What are those things, Lawson?
Yeah, so in the original Sabbath commandment, I mean, the Sabbath was originated in creation in the Garden of Eden. But in the first Sabbath commandment given in the book of Exodus on the Ten Commandments, you know, the tablets of stone we've got there, you know, for the Lord God in 6 days created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that's in there, you know.
Exactly.
We see this clear reference to creation. But then the second iteration or giving of the Ten Commandments that we see in the book of Deuteronomy is that for the Lord God has delivered you out of Egypt. You know, keep the Sabbath day holy. You, nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your servants work.
Exactly,
no one
right.
should work. But the reason for this is now not just for the creation, but furthermore for their emancipation from Egypt.
Exactly.
They're releasing from slavery or their redemption.
Exactly. So this is the theme. And when let's read Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 and to 15. So the Ten Commandments, which were the commandments that God has given to everyone everywhere, he was delivered to the Jews, but they are universal commandments. The only thing in the Bible actually written by the very finger of God, it says here, Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner that stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servants may rest as well as you. And then it says here, verse 15, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day.
Wow.
So if in Exodus we observe the Sabbath day because the Lord has created the heavens, the earth, the fountains of water, and everything that is in them, in Deuteronomy saying, you remember that I have saved you from your enemies.
Yeah. I love it here because originally, when the first iteration that we see of the Ten Commandments in Exodus, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Like, this is what you should see. You know, they've been Sabbath keeping throughout this time. Now it's observe the Sabbath day because they've remembered it. But I love here, and remember that you were a slave. God here is bringing up. It's almost like God is dragging up their pain and their trauma, but to remind them, like, remember that you're a slave. You had no hope. Your slavery was indefinite, but with an outstretched arm, I brought you in. Like, remember how I saved you. This is why we keep the Sabbath. But the incredible thing to remember when we keep the Sabbath, when we observe this holy day, is not only God is our creator, but Jesus is our redeemer. It's powerful. Amen.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Hey guys, this is the final opportunity to get into our amazing prize for this week, the Revive Cafe Cookbook. You might be thinking, but it's a Thursday. Mate, it's Good Friday tomorrow. No one's going to be anywhere. It's like everything is shut down, including Faith FM. Hey, there'll still be programming running through that time. But listen, guys, a last question for this week. Coming from as well, this is very Easter-centric. In John 19, two men helped prepare the body of Christ for burial. One is said to have been a secret disciple, and another secretly came to Jesus early in his ministry to ask a question. Who were these men? Incredibly famous figures in the Bible, and famous in their time as well. 0491-064-669.
Hint. One of the names is one of the hosts here in the Breakfast Show. Shares a name.
Yes. That is a great hint.
That's right.
Hey, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. Again, John 19, there are two men who prepare the body and help bury him. One is a secret disciple. The other one secretly came to Jesus to ask him a question. And we know became his follower and his defender as well amongst the Sanhedrin. Who were these men? 0491-064-669. Your last opportunity to get in for the amazing Revive Cafe Cookbook number 8. We've been reading in Psalm 92 and Deuteronomy 5, considering the amazing work that God has done to bring redemption to the Israelites and to us today, and it being very much one of the foundational reasons, along with creation, as to why we keep the Sabbath, why we have this day of rest.
David actually sent us a message saying, let us remember the symbolic Passover today, Good Friday, seventh day Sabbath, then the resurrection on the Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much, David. Mm. Yes, let's remember Passover today, because Easter is basically Passover, but with a new meaning. Mm. Because Passover, which is till this day, a feast, the most important feast practiced by the Jews. This was in the Christian tradition. What happened was at the Passover, where Jesus was the fulfillment of the Lamb of God who would give his life for this, to forgive the sins of many. So he changed the significance of the Passover, and he included not only the deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt, but now the deliverance of all of the people of God from sin in Jesus Christ. So Passover. So I know that some people say, oh, Easter has, you know, pagan roots and so on, but in reality, there is a bit of a mix, but at the very origin, the Passover Easter story, it has Hebrew roots in Passover.
Yes.
And then in the sacrifice of Jesus.
Yeah.
So it might have definitely gained some connotations here that are outside of the Bible. For example, the Easter egg.
The bunny,
and so on.
The name.
So I think that the best thing we can do is to really reclaim it as a Judeo-Christian holiday, so that particularly we can celebrate God's deliverance, not only of the people of God in Israel, in Egypt, but particularly the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at the cross.
Yeah, and I think it is, you know, to be wary, to make those distinctions, to divide false symbols from true symbols is really important. And we would very much support that idea. But simultaneously, what a time that we have to share the message of Christ when everyone is thinking about it, and maybe even for the wrong reasons. But guys, you know, as people who are followers of Christ, take, you know, bringing the Great Commission forward to the world, like, let's take every opportunity to share Christ.
It's very true, Lawson.
Passover, Ramadan, Easter, and Christmas.
Let's take every opportunity. I agree with you. And let me tell you this as well. For parents, because for parents that want to, I'll give a tip here, that want to explain to kids about, you know, Easter time, what are they celebrating, and, you know, should we give them Easter eggs or not? This is what I would do. with my kids. I'll give them an Easter egg because all the other kids are eating, and I do not want them to associate Easter. Oh, no, we're not having Easter eggs because this is not a biblical symbol, which is not. But so, you know what? As you eat this chocolate, let us talk about the real reason for Easter. And we talk about how Jesus, so we talk how Jesus died for our sins so that we could be one day in heaven with him. So that, you know, we could see those who we have lost for death by, because Jesus has died for them and he bought us eternal life. So instead of making it a us versus them, thing or no, this is, you should not touch this. And I say, you know what? Okay, you can eat it. But as you eat it, let us talk about the sweetness of the sacrifice of Jesus for us at the cross.
Wow.
So it's something that you can do with your kids as well. So I said, look, people celebrate bunnies because they have forgotten about the real story of Easter, but this is the real story. This is what we're really celebrating here. The death of Jesus Christ at the cross for us.
And you know, it's so funny. I went to a Catholic school growing up. I think until I was 11, I went to Catholic school and then I went to a Christian high school. And at Catholic school, you know, I'm definitely not a Catholic today. I was baptized as Catholic so that I could go along to the school. But I'm definitely not a Catholic today. But those stories, the Easter story, we do an Easter play every year. We would do the Easter play, and then every Christmas we would do the nativity story. And one particular Christmas, I was the narrator for the nativity story. I was in year four. I was 9 years old. And I was, you know, I would do the narration. So Mary and Joseph, and I had to memorize all my lines.
Yes.
So I didn't hold a script or anything. So Mary and Joseph were heading through, you know, and they arrived to Bethlehem, you know, talking about the story. And then it would be like, and there was no room in the inn. And then it would go into a song, no room in the inn, kind of thing. Those stories, I still remember my friends who played each one of the characters in the play. I still remember the stories unfolding and every single detail of the nativity, every single detail of you know, being Catholic. It was Palm Sunday, Ash Wednesday, and whatnot. But Good Friday, Jesus hanging on the cross, Jesus, you know, walking up to be crucified and walking up Golgotha. Like, I remember distinctly every single one of those details from when I was 5 to when I was 10, coming from a non-Christian background. Like, that story stuck with me, and it always gave me the impression of a Jesus who loved and cared for me, of like a Jesus of noble character who died in my place. I didn't know whether Jesus was real. I didn't know whether the story was real, but I remember looking at that and thinking like, wow, like being convicted. Being like convicted that God was good, at the very least. And again, it would take, you know, from
kids
that
are
point.
So impressionable, particularly when it comes to spirituality. Kids, they do not have all of those fears that we develop later on as adults. Like, oh, what is that going to mean to my job, to my security?
Yeah.
No, they are so open to listen to God's word and to act upon it. They, in their minds, there's just no difficulty at all. This is why Jesus says, unless you be just like these little children, you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think despite all the other influences that came into my life after that time and, you know, that were very, very much ungodly, and even being a young person who was, you know, interested in intellectual arguments for evolution and whatever, like, you know, I wasn't a pro-Bible person, which I very much am now, but I never lost that impression of the goodness of God and the love of Jesus. Like, from that young of an age, seeing my friend, his name was Jack. He played Jesus in the play. And like, he's the one, he was walking down the aisle of the church with someone carrying the cross behind him. Like, I had that in my mind to this day. And I saw there, like, Jesus' sacrifice for me. I'll never ever forget it. And so, yeah, what an opportunity to lead our kids to a knowledge of Christ and a knowledge of his sacrifice, as we've been talking about in Psalm 92, and furthermore, to rest in that, to spend not just Easter, but every Sabbath saying, hey, what has Jesus done for us throughout this week, throughout history, and since the beginning of time?
That's right. We commemorate it in a special way in Easter time, but really every Sabbath is an opportunity to reflect upon the sacrifice of the Son of God on behalf of the entire of humanity. How he had delivered us from our sins, how he delivered us from our enemies, how he will restore every injustice that has ever been wrought against us in the future time. And God gives us an opportunity to every week to reset, to rest, and to think about that.
Absolutely. It's powerful. It will be a blessing to your life. We very much encourage you. Hey, keep the Sabbath, because it's not only what we're telling you to do, but also what Jesus is telling you to do as well.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And And right now, it's come time for our quiz draw. Now, Shell has been inundated with people answering questions, so she's just punching the last of those in now. We can get into some quiz answers, though, before we spin that wheel for the draw. We have this first one here. Fill in the blank. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own
understanding.
Yeah, beautiful. In all ways, or in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. That's Proverbs 3, 5
to 6. That is really cool because we tend to lean on our own human wisdom.
Absolutely.
So much, don't we, Lawson? And the Bible says, no, if you trust in divine wisdom, I will fix everything else up for you.
Yeah.
Just don't play by the voice's rules of this world. Play by my rules.
And I love it here. It's not, you know, just trust in my power, but rather my wisdom.
Like in the wisdom of God, yes.
The wisdom, the decision making. He wants to give us direction. He wants to lighten us. He wants to bless us. The next one here, when Jesus entered Jerusalem during what is known as his triumphal entry, what animal was he riding on?
He was riding on a donkey.
We gave away the answer.
But yeah, I think we spoke a little bit about the significance
at length about the beautiful significance of him riding on the donkey, uniting creation again with triumphal redemption. The priest took the money that Judas returned to them and bought what with it?
So he bought the potter's field with the money, which is where strangers were buried. Matthew 27:6-8. It was later also known as the field of blood. Yeah, so that was also in fulfillment of a prophecy in the book of Jeremiah. So this is what happened with that money.
Hey, amazing. The next one here, who is the first person to see the risen Christ? That was none other than Mary Magdalene. And then finally, it was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus who were the two men that helped prepare Christ's body for his burial, which is amazing. That's like you die. And then, you know, if you think of two famous, rich, influential people, it's like Elon Musk, like the Elon Musk of Jerusalem and the, I don't know, I don't want to say like Joe Biden, but some high official, high in the priestly world, like come and help prepare your body. That's, you know, these two people who are entrepreneurs, part of the Sanhedrin, incredibly rich and wealthy and influential and well known, were convicted by the words of Jesus, by the truth that he had to share.
Jesus touched the lives of both the lowly and also the powerful of his time. Mm. And to the lowly he exalted, and to the powerful he humbled.
Absolutely. Beautiful stuff. Well, right now it's time. All we need to do is spin that wheel. So, Shell,
we're looking forward to it. This is always a very exciting moment.
Yeah. Okay, the wheel is spinning.
It's spinning, 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 spinning.
Oh, it's slowing down. It's finding a winner. Whoa. And
we have
in the last moment, we have congratulations to Rachel, who has won the prize for this week, the Revive Cafe Cookbook number 8. I'm sure you'll be incredibly blessed by that one. You'll be able to, cook amazing food, and hopefully,
congratulations.
If we ever get down to your area where you are, we'd love to come over for a meal as well.
Yes, I'm just trying to imagine what is Rachel going to cook from this book to her loved ones. There's so many yummy things. Rachel, congratulations.
Maybe some Creole jambalaya, I should say. Maybe some ponzu chick bowls or some Chinese egg. And this is egg in brackets here.
Yes.
We're talking about probably scrambled tofu.
And what about this gado gado baked kumara? The only word that I know here is baked.
I don't know what gado gado is. That's very interesting.
I'm just looking. She's from the ACT. That's not too far away.
Oh, that's up the road. I love Canberra.
We can organize this.
Road trip down to Canberra. Come and hang out with you guys down there. Beautiful stuff. But guys, thank you so much for playing the quiz this week. And I guess to share some final thoughts to cap off our Bible study. We've been talking about Easter. We've been talking about Sabbath. We've been talking about the redemption that Jesus offers us. And I think one responsible and appropriate thing that we could do, Joseph, is to encourage people. You know, this Easter weekend, it's usually a time in which, if you are spiritual, you'll spend all weekend, you know, thinking about remembering God in some capacity. And usually Easter is a time where, you know, particularly Easter Sunday, people will be going along to church services. They're like, okay, I'll put a time aside to go and do this. Well, hey, God has given us every single week time to put aside. That's the Sabbath day from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, where we can spend time with him, remembering him. And I've talked about this before as we picked up on this Sabbath theme. You know, one of the first Sabbaths I ever kept actually was in your home, Joseph, for roughly, you know, we're talking 7, 8 years ago, coming over to your place, being blessed. And I can say, like, that was really the tool that God used to make me the man who I am today, a follower of Christ, that I could spend time resting in community and being blessed by the word of the Lord. We want you to spend time like that as well this weekend. So we really encourage you. Hey, keep the Sabbath. You are listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. You're joined by myself, Lawson. Got Joseph in the studio as well as Shell. And we're finishing off the week.
That was a short week, Lawson.
We have swiftly come to the end. Of course, it will be Good Friday tomorrow. Everything will be shut down, but we pray that you're spending your weekend, yeah, close to Jesus, remembering his sacrifice. I'm going to be speaking for Newcastle University. They have an Easter camp happening over that time. It's going to be really, really amazing for the uni students and whatnot who are coming along. So it'll be a huge blessing.
Enjoy your families. Mm. Be responsible. Mm. Don't do anything that would put you at harm or at risk or to your family. And just enjoy that blessed time that God wants to give you. Spend time with your friends. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with God. Spend time doing the things that our busy lives often do not allow us to. So we wish you an amazing Easter weekend. And we will be back on Tuesday at this place, 7 a.m., so we can continue giving positively different news.
Of course, when we come to the end of the show, we give away something absolutely for free. And I got a book here by Clifford Goldstein, one of my favorite writers, and I've seen him present in person as well, coming from the States. A Pause for Peace, What God's Gift of the Sabbath Can Mean to You. This is a beautiful book. The way to be able to win this, we'll give it to you absolutely for free. Our keyword is rest. Rest. If you text us at 0491-064-669, if you're the first person to text through with the word rest, I'll give that one to you for three. But guys, remember to talk faith, to live faith, and act faith, and you'll grow strong in Jesus Christ.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide of sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Until we meet again at Jesus' feet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.